Den Namen sah Buddha at the other poster.
What did Srila mention?
No, no, but he didn't put it up, did he?
No.
What did you announce? Just that's the one straight path.
Yeah.
That's what
I couldn't talk about. Let me just make an
announcement. No, that's fine. Shantas, how are you? Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm
nice to see your face. You okay, brother? You live from now? I thought you live from here.
Yeah, I am. I live in South London.
You live in South London?
Yeah.
Okay, Masha, shall I get your number?
Yes, you can get it, inshallah. Get it from him.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاتقياء واصحابه الاسفياء اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله يهدي من يشاء الى صراط مستقيم سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Dear brothers, respected elders, we begin in the name of Allah. Thank Him, praise Him, glorify Him, seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to forgive our sins and to guide us all to the right path so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, whatever we have, whatever we are, it's all Allah's fazal and mercy. Every morsel of food that we eat, every drop of water that we drink, every breath of air that we breathe, every step that we take, every day, every night, each day and each night is a blessing from Allah. We can't thank Allah enough. Whatever we need, we should turn to Allah and ask Allah. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ Rasulullah gave this advice to one of his companions, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, whatever you need, ask Allah. When you need help, ask Allah. Who better to help than Allah? And true help is from Allah. And if Allah doesn't help, إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ If Allah helps you, then no one can overpower you. Nothing can overpower you. No people, no conditions, no situations can put you down. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ And if Allah humiliates you, disgraces you, lets you be, then who can help you if Allah doesn't help? So we should always turn to Allah for help. Place our trust in Allah, seek help from Allah. And this is the message that we are reminded constantly, every day of our lives, many times a day, in every prayer, in every rakat of every prayer. There are 17 rakats which are obligatory, 3 rakats are wajib, witr, and 12 rakats sunnat muakkida. So 17 and 3 is 20 plus 12 is 32. In each rakat, we either recite ourselves or as the differences amongst the ulama, in light of the difference amongst companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as can be proven from authentic narrations as well, when people pray, some ulama are of the opinion that you have to recite Fatiha yourself, whichever prayer you pray, but in light of sahih narrations as well and the amal practice of the prominent companions, when you pray on your own, then you have to recite Fatiha. When you pray behind the imam, then you don't recite anything. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُتَمَّ بِهِ Imam is made to be followed. وَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُ When he makes takbir, you make takbir. وَإِذَا قَرَّأَ فَأَنْسِتُ This is a sahih hadith from Sahih Muslim. When the imam recites, you remain silent. وَإِذَا قَالَ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ When the imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ Then you say, آمين. When the imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ You say, آمين. What does آمين mean? Whatever the imam has recited, you second it as well. You support it, you follow it up. Rasulullah didn't say, when the imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ Then you go back and recite Surah Fatiha. Samajai? You understand? وَإِذَا قَالَ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ. Then you say Ameen. In other words, the Imam's recitation is sufficient for you. But this is another topic. And so either when you pray, you either recite Surah Fatiha yourself or the Imam recites on your behalf as well. And that is sufficient. مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِمَامٌ فَقِرَاءَةُ الْإِمَامِ لَهُ قِرَاءَةٌ. When you pray behind the Imam, then his recitation is sufficient for you. Other people disagree and they recite behind the Imam, but many and most Sahaba didn't used to. But nevertheless, it is recited on your behalf, what? Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is a very, very grand surah. It's known as Ummul Quran, the mother of the whole Quran. And there are many lessons in this surah for us. First and foremost, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You praise Allah. This is a way of thanking Allah. When somebody asks you, how are you, brother? What do you say? Alhamdulillah. When you eat, you say? Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah is a way of thanking Allah. So this surah, which is recited 32 times a day, or recited on your behalf, by yourself or on your behalf, 32 times a day minimum. And I haven't included any nafils or taraweeh. Some people recite 20 rakat taraweeh in Ramadan. Some people take the shortcut. So whatever, either they go the full way or take the shortcut, that's additional.
Is not compulsory.
I didn't say compulsory.
It was nice words.
I didn't say compulsory, brother. No, brother, if you, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it is not compulsory.
I did. Did I say compulsory? Brother, did I say anything? And it's rude to interrupt. You got a problem? The right way is to ask me at the end. I'm here. I'm not running away.
Okay.
I'm not running away. I'm here. You got a problem? It's very rude to disrupt like that. People should learn some manners. I'm not running away. For a person to disrupt like that, this extreme rude and ignorance to disrupt like that.
Go ahead, brother. I will listen to you. No problem. What is right?
Forgive him, sir. Forgive him.
Yeah.
What else can I do? I can't bang anybody.
No need to apologize. It is right. Islam is a haq. Kilmat al-haq here, please. No problem. Go ahead.
MashaAllah.
Listen, again he will make a mistake and I will stop.
You want to stop me? I give you full permission to question me anything what I've said at the end. I'm not running away.
That's okay. Go ahead, carry on.
But this is a problem with many people nowadays. When people, somebody who's not from their own kind, then they come here and people don't stop them. Who says it's haram? Who says it's haram?
Oh, brother, just please, sir.
Well, I said it's shortcut and I will say it again. It's a shortcut. Because none of the Sahaba used to take this shortcut. It's proven, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah stated, all the Muhajireen and Ansar, they all got together. And the amal of Muhajireen and Ansar is proven in Quran. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ. The problem is, people don't read Quran. People don't understand Quran. People jump straight to narrations. Now narrations can be sahih, they can be da'if, there are different classifications, but no one can doubt Quran. And if a Muslim, anybody doubts Quran, then what sort of a Muslim is he? In the Quran, the amal of Muhajireen and Ansar, as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-Muhajireen wal-Ansar, wal-ladhina attaba'uhum bi-ihsan, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Those who took the initiative, first and foremost, especially from the Muhajireen and Ansar, and those who follow them with goodness, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah in Majmu' al-Fatawa has written, in the time of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he united all the companions on 20 rakat taraweeh. فَلَمْ يُنْكِرُ عَلَيْهِ مُنْكَرٌ. Not a single person stood up to say, why are you reading 20? So the amal 20 rakat taraweeh in Ramadan is a unanimously united, undisputed, collective practice. If anybody doesn't want to understand the Quran, not hadith, Quran, approves the amal of Muhajireen and Ansar and the Khulafa Rashideen in the Quran. Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 55. This was meant to be the original topic which I suggested, because people don't know who the Khulafa are. People know who their particular small breed of scholars is, but people don't know the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't know who Abu Bakr is. They don't know who Umar is. They don't know who Usman is. They don't know who Ali is. They just know their narrow brand. They pick up translations of hadith. And I am sorry to say, hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qawl, ala ra'si wal ayn, on our heads and ears, on our eyes. People pick up books of hadith. They read translations. They don't study hadith. They don't understand hadith. They only read translations and they become muftis. They think they are scholars. There used to be a time people used to read and study hadith. Hadith was compiled in the 3rd century. Imam Bukhari compiled it in the 3rd century. Imam Muslim, Tirmizi, Nisai, Abu Dawud. Were there no Muslims and scholars before Bukhari? Did Islam begin with Bukhari? Rasulullah gave guarantee of 3 generations. خَيْرُ أُمَّتِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. His companions, تَابِئِينَ تَبَ تَابِئِينَ. Imam Bukhari isn't from any of these 3. Who is the first Imam from the first generation? Abu Hanifa rahmahullah. He was from the best of the generations. But people think he was deviant. In the 3 generations, nobody used to read 8 rakat Taraweeh. And it's proven, Ibn Taymiyyah, the grand scholar Shaykhul Islam, has proven this Majmu'ul Fatawa, that Umar ibn Khattab used to read, he commanded, united the people at 20 rakats. Not even Aisha, the one who reports 8 rakats, stood up and said, Umar, how dare you unite people? How dare you command people to do something which is not sunnah? The Quran says, "Wala yumakkinannalam." Surah Nur, chapter 24, verse 55. Allah promised khilafat. Khilafat to those who had iman and did good deeds. That "Wala yumakkinannalam deenahum alladhir tada lahum." Allah will establish their deen for them with which He was happy. So whatever the Khulafa Rashideen did, Allah says, Allah is happy. In the time of Umar, used to be 20. Hazrat Usman 20, Hazrat Ali 20, and this is the generation which is guaranteed. The Quran says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ. Those who took the initiative and the first from the Muhajirin and Ansar, those who followed them, Allah is happy with them, they are happy with Allah. They are guaranteed. Their amal cannot be bid'ah. They did 20. Nobody took a shortcut in those days, and I'll say it again. Nobody used to leave. You can't prove any hadith from anywhere. Sahaba would be doing 20 and anybody would leave. Since people have, translations of hadith have spread, misguidance has, people have become deviant, divided. And before anybody interrupts again, how can you say people have become deviant? When the Quran says, is Quran superior or hadith superior? When the Quran says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. You know what it means? It means people become misguided when they read. Allah mentioned, يُضِلُّ first. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many people read Quran, they become misguided because they are not sincere. So when people read Quran, become misguided, what about hadith? When there were no translations of hadith, people were united. They listened to ulama. People, they used to study hadith, not just read translations. So such talk they could handle and digest. Now people, they read their own translations. They don't even know what the word hadith means. Hadith can be good and bad. And I'll say it again, listen. Hadith can be good and bad. How bad? You might say the Mahdi has gone crazy, huh? How can hadith be bad? You'll agree in a minute. Hadith of good people is good. Hadith of bad people is bad. Like, is meat halal or haram? Is meat halal or haram? Huh? Depends. Thank you. Jazakumullah khair. Meat of a halal animal slaughtered in the halal way is halal. Meat of a haram animal, or even a halal animal but not slaughtered properly, is haram. So it can, meat can be halal or haram. Is our friends good or bad? Huh? Friend can be good. Friendship of a good person can be good. Friendship of a bad person, bad. Milk halal or haram?
Depends.
Of a halal animal, halal. Haram animal, haram. Pigs have milk as well. Will you drink? Milk is good. No, you'll say it's haram. Similarly, hadith in the Quran. Most people think hadith is just what the Prophet said or did. But in the Quran, Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَىٰ. Did you not get the hadith of Musa? You might say, well, he was also a prophet. Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Have you not got the hadith of the guests of Ibrahim? You might say, they were also guests of Ibrahim. Then Allah says in the Quran, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودِ. Did you not get the hadith of Fir'aun? So is the hadith of Fir'aun good? What Fir'aun used to say is good? Huh. So hadith can be good or bad, depending upon whose hadith you're referring to, the literal meaning of hadith. So this is why we've been commanded to follow sunnah, not hadith. Because every sunnah is hadith, but every hadith is not sunnah. So people read only translations of hadith without studying from ulama. They become their own muftis. So they don't understand the issues properly. In the first three generations, Rasulullah guaranteed, خَيْرُ أُمَّةِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Imam Bukhari, sorry, is not one of the first three generations. Neither is Imam Muslim or Imam Tirmizi or Abu Dawud or Ibn Majah or the rest of the compiled. Imam Malik is. And so is Abu Hanifa. Rahimahumullah. In the time of Sahaba, there was no congregational prayer of 8 rakat tarawih. But that's not my topic today. So when I said shortcut, I knew what I'm saying. So the first thing Surah Fatiha says, if only we knew Surah Fatiha, we wouldn't have half the problems we've got. People don't read Quran at all. Quran is absolute word of Allah. This is the only book. People don't read. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the only book in which there is no doubt. Allah revealed it. Allah revealed it through Jibreel upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took personal responsibility for its safe propagation. Other ulama, we are not saying they are wrong. They were not good. They were very noble. We are not even fit to be the dust under their feet. But Quran is Quran. Absolute word of Allah. This lays down the principles, fundamentals. People don't read Quran. People read other translations of narrations, but they don't read Quran. They don't understand Quran. What's Quran telling you? Surah Fatiha, Ummul Quran, the mother of the whole Quran. Whatever is in Quran has been summarized in Surah Fatiha. This is why it's called Ummul Quran, the mother of the whole Quran. You recite it, or it will be recited on your behalf 32 times a day, minimum. Minimum. Any nafil, tarawih, etc. Long cut, short cut, whatever cut you want to call it. Extra, additional. But minimum 32 times a day. Assume 30 days a month. For ease of calculation only. 12 months a year. And as Rasulullah stated, command yutmuru awladakum bis salati wa hum abna'u sab'in. command your children to start praying when? وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيَّا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرٍ. When they are 10 years old, what should you do? I won't say it, you say it. Discipline them. When they are 10 years old. This is words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if somebody starts praying as they should at the age of 10 and they live till the age of 60, which is an average age, so how many years is that? Huh? 50. So 32 times a day, 30 days a month, 12 months a year, over a period of 50 years. Type it in some of your smartphones. And your smartphone will give you an answer 576,000 times. I'm not claiming to be smarter than your smartphone. 576,000 times you recite this surah. But how unfortunate, most people don't even know what this surat means. What about the rest of Quran? Bijinko itna bhi pa, over 500,000 times people will recite this surah throughout their lives and they don't even know what this surah is saying to them. And this surah is the mother of the whole Quran. Whatever is in Quran is summarized in Surah Fatiha. What is in the Quran? Number one, Allah's Tawheed. The oneness and greatness of Allah. Number two, Akhirah. Akhirah means Qiyamah, Hashr, Jannah, Jahannam, Hisab. All these things that to do with Akhirah. The Quran explains in much detail the affairs of the life hereafter. So Tawheed and Akhirah. Number three, stories of previous prophets and their nations. Those who obeyed them, believed in them, obeyed them and followed them, how Allah blessed them, saved them, helped them, protected them. And those who rejected the prophets and disobeyed them, how Allah destroyed them and ruined them. Stories of Nuh alayhi salam, Qawmi Ad, Qawmi Thamud, Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, Isa alayhi salam and others. Stories of previous prophets and their nations. And number four, do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do this. This is halal, this is haram and so on. So four basic categories. Tawheed, oneness, greatness of Allah, Akhirat, Risalat, and Ahkam, do's and don'ts. These are all summarized in Surah Fatiha. You won't get detail of halal and haram and good and bad. But summary, just hints. And I'll prove to you. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. What's this? Tawheed, Allah's greatness, all praises for Allah, Lord of the worlds, the most beneficent, the merciful. Malik Yawmiddin, owner of the day of judgment. What's this? Akhirat aagayna. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone we worship, thee alone we ask for help. What's worship? Command of Allah. Nasta'in isti'ana. Seeking help. This is also a form of ibadah. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. This is the gist of all ibadah. Seeking help from Allah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone we pray to. Thee alone we worship. Thee alone we ask for help. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the right path. And what is the right path? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The path of those upon whom you've showered your favors. The path of good people, the prophets. And Allah has listed this in the whole Quran, tafsir himself. I'll explain inshallah. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. These are do's. Path of those upon whom Allah showered his favors. You walk that path. You do the good things. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Not the path of those who earned Allah's anger and went astray. That's the wrong path. You stay away from the wrong path. Don't do the things which are prohibited. So the whole Qur'an, Tawheed, Risalat, Akhirat and Ahkam summarized in Surah Al-Fatiha. The topic was Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right path. Many people say, Rasulullah did this, others did this, so we got to follow Rasulullah. Like the brothers, they say, Rasulullah used to pray 8 rakats, Umar started 20 rakats, so we follow Rasulullah. Is that all we are supposed to follow? Ihdina sirat. What's the definition of sirat mustaqim in Quran? Quran is the absolute word of Allah. Infallible. Absolute. What's sirat mustaqim in Quran? Is it sirat al-Rasul? Sirat al-Nabi?
Straight path.
Straight path. But definition of straight path in the Quran. In the Quran. I'm teaching you Quran. You not listening. Don't want to learn. If you don't want to learn, you more than well. Yes. You know Arabic?
I don't know Arabic.
Well, if you don't know Arabic, thank you very much. Yeah.
I'm listening to you.
You're not listening. You're interrupting. You're disrupting. What Allah says in the Quran.
Quran is everything inside the Quran.
Yes. I am giving you Quran. I'm giving you Quran. You come and lecture here. That's what I said.
No mafar. Mafar ma'ana no haroob bil Arabic.
You just said you don't understand Arabic.
I am well educated in Arabic language.
Well, why did you lie in the first instance?
Yeah, I will tell you this, because you think you are don't know Arabic, that you are smart in Arabic.
I am not saying, I didn't say that. I questioned you and you said you don't know Arabic, so you lied.
Brother, you don't know Arabic.
His name is Pervez. What do you expect from a Pervez? A Pervez tore up the letter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
If you are listening something wrong with deep white, you are shaitan.
What is wrong?
This is what
Pervez did. Anybody whose name is Pervez, no Pervez has done any Islam any favor throughout the history. Hence ulama have stated it is haram for a Muslim to name their child as Pervez. Because Pervez tore up the letter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah said Allah will tear up his kingdom. Pervez Musharraf. There was a guy, his name was Pervez, started the Pervezi sect. They reject hadith. You will not find a single grand sheikh by the name of Pervez. Throughout the history of Islam, there are many named Pervez who misled the Ummah and started fitness. There is a sect, it's known as a Pervezi sect. They reject hadith. Pervez Musharraf, we all know what he did. One Pervez tore up the letter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent him. The Roman emperor showed respect. Rasulullah said, Allah will protect, Allah will give him leave. But when Pervez Khusru, when he received the letter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tore it up. Rasulullah said, Allah will tear up his kingdom. I'm explaining Arabic. I'm not.
So, this is wrong.
This is what we are saying.
This is happening. What is this?
Inshallah, but just calm down.
Let's forget about him. Just you continue on with your, let him not affect you.
I want you to understand this crucial issue, brother. I'm trying to teach you Surah Fatiha, which is the first Surah of Quran.
وكان قليل عندنا باللغة الإنجليزية الفهم
نعم
فهواصل بس تقول خارج عن فهواصل
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القرآن اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. We've been taught to pray to Allah more than 500,000 times to seek hidayat from Allah. Oh Allah, guide us to the right path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What is that sirat al-mustaqim? Allah defines it himself. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those upon whom you showered your favors. Many of our brothers, young students nowadays, they think, they pick up books, hadith, they think this is it. This is what Rasulullah did, this is what the companions did, this is what the fuqaha, they say, we got to follow only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a sahih hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting amongst his companions. And in those days in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, there was no carpet. There often used to be dust. So Rasulullah drew with his noble finger, he drew a line on the floor. And then minor lines on left and the right. And he said, أَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. This is the my straight path, so follow this. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. Do not follow any path which will take you away from this. When there is a path to be walked, for example, the brother who made the poster, on the poster he put down the straight path and he had a road with a few lines, with a few lanes in that road, yeah? Those of you who drive, for example, when you drive on the road or on the motorway, tens of thousands of cars. So how do you drive? Do you drive side by side or do you drive behind one another? Huh? How do you drive? If there's thousands of cars and three lanes, does it take MSc to work that one out? If there are three lanes on the motorway or when you are going in a road in a single file, there's a single lane in which you can go, but there's thousands of cars going. So do they go side by side or do they go behind one another? Behind one another. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih compilation has given a heading. Bab naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. This is Imam Bukhari's muwaqqaf. This is his stance. This is his opinion. This is his way of thinking. The right way to follow deen is we get in a queue. Rasulullah is at the front, followed by Sahaba. I'm tabi'een, I'm a mujtahideen, salaf salihin, muhaddiseen. We are 1400 years down the line. So what we do? We get in the line. Bab naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. This is common sense. But common sense isn't so common anymore these days.
Very expensive.
People have been coming down. Abu Bakr was directly behind Rasulullah, followed by Hazrat Umar. You know what Rasulullah said about Hazrat Umar? Wallahu ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umara wa qalbi. Allah has put haqq on the heart and tongue of Umar. And you know who is scared of Umar? Rasulullah said to Umar once, Walladhi nafsi biyadihi. I swear by him who holds my life in his hands. Ma laqiyaka ash-shaytanu salikan fajjan qat illa wasalaka fajjan ghayra fajjik. O Umar, I swear by whom who holds my life in his hands, who is saying this? An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-sadiqul amin. He is saying, O Umar, I swear by him who holds my life in his hands, when you walk a path, shaitan can't walk that path. He goes to another path. He leaves your path and walks another path. The man upon whose heart and tongue, I could speak wrong, you can speak wrong, ulama can be wrong. Umar, Rasulullah gave his guarantee. Allahu ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umara wa qalbi. Allah has put haqq on the tongue and heart of Umar. Rasulullah said, I've got four advices. I've got four, two in the heavens, two on earth. My advice is in the heavens, Jibreel, Mikael. My advice is in dunya, Abu Bakr and Umar. Hadith in Bukhari. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَا قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِنْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ فِي أُمَّتِي فَإِنَّهُ عُمَرٌ. There were people before Allah used to talk to. They were not prophets, Allah used to talk to them, meaning Allah used to inspire them, put in their hearts what Allah liked. And if there is any such man in this ummah, Umar is definitely one of them. So Umar is someone Allah used to inspire, take pride in. Umar. Rasulullah's dua for Umar. Allahumma a'izza al-Islam bi'Amr bin Hisham or Umar ibn al-Khattab. Rasulullah made dua for two people. Ya Allah, honor Islam with either Umar bin Hisham, Abu Jahl or Umar ibn al-Khattab. So in other words, whosoever is more dear to you, Ya Allah, from these two, honor Islam. So Umar, when Allah accepted his beloved messengers and prophets' dua in favor of Umar, so what is Umar? Umar is the honor of Islam. Whoever burns at the name of Umar, he really burns at the honor of Islam. And Umar radiallahu anhu established this. 20 rakat tarawih amongst muhajirin and ansar. فَلَمْ يُنْكِرُ عَلَيْهِ مُنْكِرُ Not a single voice was raised. Not a single person spoke up. It was Umar radiallahu anhu who then forcefully implemented. He didn't make it, fabricate it, order it. He implemented. Three talaqs in one sitting will be counted as three as they are in every language. In every language, if you say three, it means, if you go to a shop and you say, can I have 3 kilograms of apples, potatoes, or 3 chickens, or 3 kilograms of meat, how many kilograms do you expect?
Three.
Or do you expect one because you said in one go? In every language, three will be three. There's only one language in which three is one and one is three. You know what language that is? Trinity. Umar radiallahu anhu, he prayed to Allah. This is in Bukhari. Allahumma inna kunna natawassalu ilayka bi nabiyyika wa inna natawassalu ilayka bi ammi nabiyyik. Ya Allah, we have been making tawassul of your Nabi. Now we make tawassul of his uncle. Tawassul practiced by Hazrat Umar. But people say it's shirk. Was Hazrat Umar mushrik, na'uzu billah? So Allah, we've been taught this dua. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, show us the right path. What is the right path? Sirat al-ladhina. Many brothers, they think we got to follow only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who say only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what they really are saying is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam should have been immortal. He should not have died. Because if we are to follow only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, have we heard anything from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray as you have seen me pray. Can anybody pray like that? Now, Rasul, this is Sahih hadith in Bukhari. "Sallu," pray, "kama ra'aytumuni usalli," as you have seen me praying. Have we seen Rasulullah praying? So, when the last Sahabi who actually saw Rasulullah praying when he passed away, and there was no one in the world left who had actually seen Rasulullah praying. So could anybody act upon this hadith as the hadith is saying? So now the best that we can do is pray the way somebody tells us the way Rasulullah used to pray. You understand? Because the Prophet said, pray as you've seen me pray. We haven't seen Rasulullah praying. So can we pray that way? When we haven't seen Rasulullah praying, can we pray that way? So does that mean you stop praying? No, you don't stop praying. So we have to pray the way somebody tells us Rasulullah prayed. Imam Bukhari was born 184 years after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So if anybody prays the way Imam Bukhari says Rasulullah prayed, what about the man who lived 100 years before Imam Bukhari was even born? Is he, what the way he's telling you, is that not going to be by common sense standards more authentic what the Imam Bukhari says? In Sahih Bukhari, there are basically around 5,000 narrations. And from those 5,000 narrations, there are only 22 which have a link of three links between Imam Bukhari and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only 22 from the thousands. From 5,000, only 22 which have a minimum link of three between Imam Bukhari and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His teacher from a tabi'i, from a sahabi, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and I'm just quoting his example, I'm not expecting everyone to become Hanafi or to say only he was. No, I'm just giving one example from the great mujtahideens. We are the Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we accept all four mujtahideens. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'an, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah. They are all part and parcel of Ahlu Sunnah. But unfortunately, because Imam Abu Hanifa has had more than his fair share of critics, so many ulama of Ahlu Sunnah, they have to defend Imam Abu Hanifa more than others. Because when do you need defending? When there's an attack. If somebody is not criticized, then he doesn't need defending. So because many people, they criticize Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, hence ulama have had to defend Imam Abu Hanifa more than other a'imma, because he's received the most criticism purely because of jealousy or ignorance. Imam Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah, who is a Maliki grand scholar, he's written that those people who are critical of Imam Abu Hanifa from one of two reasons. Either they don't know who he was, or they are purely jealous. You know, people might say, well, he was only a man, a fallible man. We agree. But what was wrong with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah was ma'soom, Imamul Anbiya, Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen. The Jews used to recognize Rasulullah. Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They used to recognize Rasulullah like they recognize their own children. But did the Jews accept Rasulullah? فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. When he came to them, they denied him, rejected him. Why? حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Because of jealousy. So just as people were jealous of the man, nobody should be jealous of. But because they were, so Allah used to reveal the verses to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, from the Ummah, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmahullah, who was regarded as a mujaddid and a great Shafi'i scholar, he's written awwalu man dawwana ilmu shariata wa rattabahu abwaban, about Imam Abu Hanifa, that he was the first man to compile deen in chapters and give it headings, and organize, present knowledge of deen in an organized manner. So in doing so, he did the ummah a favor, made deen easy. So Imam Shafi rahimahullah used to say, "Annasu kulluhum ayalu Abi Hanifa fil fiqh." We respect all these great mujtahideens. Imam Shafi said, when it comes to fiqh, understanding of deen, the whole ummah is like children in front of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So people, when we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, Ya Allah, guide us all to the right path. The path of those, not the just, Allah didn't say صِرَاطَ النَّبِي, صِرَاطَ الرَّسُولِ, the path of those, الَّذِينَ, الَّذِينَ is not singular, الَّذِينَ is plural, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, path of those upon you have showered your favors. And the Quran clarifies who these people are. Because this is usul, this is a principle of tafsir. The best way to explain Quran is from the Quran itself. In many places, the Quran makes a statement and then elaborates itself on what that statement means. In Surah Fatiha, because summary of the whole Quran, Allah says, just ask to be guided to the path of those Allah has favored. Ya Allah, hame un logon ke raaste par chala jin par tune inaam kiya. Aur wo kon log hain jin par Allah ka inaam hua. Who are the people Allah has favored? Allah has made mention of them in Quran. Allah has made mention of them. So when Allah has made mention of them, can there be any doubt in their identity? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. First thing is prophets. Prophets. They were all under the ni'mat of Allah, under the mercy, favors of Allah. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. the truthful people. And you know who the greatest Siddiq in this ummah was? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Even in Shia books it says, Rasulullah said to Abu Bakr, Anta as-Siddiq. You are Siddiq. Anta as-Siddiq. And behind him many other truthful people, honest people, truthful people. Siddiqeen, wa-shuhada'i wa-saliheen. Min al-Nabiyyin, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Saliheen. Four groups Allah has favored in the Quran, not a Zaif hadith from anywhere. Quran, the word of Allah. So Allah is telling us in Surah Fatiha, which we recite minimum 32 times a day, over a lifetime period, more than 500,000 times, you will ask Allah, you will pray to Allah, Ya Allah, guide us on the path of all these people, path of prophets. Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Saliheen. And when the Quran was revealed, when Nabi, we know Nabis, Rasulullah is Khatamun Nabiyeen, so who could have been Siddiqeen? Abu Bakr is a definite Siddiq. So if there was any other Siddiq at the time, who was he amongst? Was he Siddiqeen honge na? तो वो कौन थे जो सिद्दीकीन थे हुजूर के सहाबा में से ही होंगे ना सो हु वर द सिद्दीकीन इन द टाइम ऑफ नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम दे हैव टू बी फ्रॉम अमंगस्ट द कंपेनियंस ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम द शहादा बाद में जो लोग शहीद हुए तो हुए लेकिन हुजूर के जमाने में या हुजूर के फौरन बाद जो शहीद हुए वो कौन थे कंपेनियंस ऑफ मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम Once Rasulullah mounted Uhud. Uhud is a mountain, Rasulullah said. Uhud loves us, we love Uhud. There are four mountains in this world, the Prophet said, are from the mountains of paradise. Just as there are four rivers in this world, are the rivers of paradise. River Nile, Euphrates, and so on. Four mountains, Jabal Nur, Tur Sina, and Uhud. They are from among the mountains of paradise. Rasulullah said, Uhud loves us, we love Uhud. In many ahadith, Rasulullah has used Uhud to describe the reward of good deeds. If somebody does this, Allah will give him the reward of Uhud. In other words, if on the day of Qiyamah, your deed that you did was to be weighed and put on one side of the scale and on the other side, the Mount Uhud was to be placed, it's many kilometers long. So can you imagine its weight? In another hadith, Rasulullah said about to the people, O people, la tasubbu ashabi, don't swear at my companions. Sub doesn't just mean swear, it's usually used to mean swear, but it means don't even look down upon them, don't criticize my companions. Because if any of you, لو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا, if any one of you was to spend gold equivalent to Mount Uhud, you won't get the same reward as my companions. مَا بَلَغَ مُدُّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ If they were to give a handful of grain, the reward Allah will give them for a handful of grain, you won't even get the same reward by spending gold as much as Uhud in the path of Allah. So one Rasulullah, once he went to Uhud, he was accompanied by Abu Bakr, Umar and Usman radiallahu anhum. And Uhud, out of joy, started shaking. And Rasulullah stamped it, Uhud. He put his foot down. He said, Uthbut! Calm down, Uhud. فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ نَبِيٌّ وَصَدِيقٌ وَشَهِيدًا For verily upon you there is a Nabi and a Siddiq and two Shaheeds. بعد میں تو جو شہید ہوئے تو ہوئے لیکن حضرت عمر اور عثمان کی شہادت زبان نبوت سے اس کی گارنٹی ہے. Anybody who becomes a Shaheed afterwards, good luck to him. But Umar and Usman are such Shaheeds. Rasulullah referred to them as Shaheeds. So when we say in Surah Fatiha, Ya Allah, guide us to the right path. Whose path? Path of the Prophets, path of Siddiqeen, path of Shuhada. Ya Allah, guide us to the path of the Prophets, the path of Abu Bakr, the path of Umar and the path of Usman and Ali. This is the first and foremost. Because this is from Quran, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time anybody recites Surah Fatiha, you should be aware, when you are asking for hidayat, what is hidayat? Hidayat is the path upon which Rasulullah was, upon Abu Bakr was, upon Umar was, upon Usman and Ali were, and upon the path of all the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, and then you get in a line. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. You don't want to make Allah angry. And who are those with whom Allah became angry? First and foremost, the Jews. And what are the Jewish traits? What is it that the Jews did which made really Allah angry? And they used to kill the prophets. That's one thing. But their main trait was they would not accept Haqq. Whenever Haqq was presented to them, if it didn't come from there what they wanted, they wouldn't accept it. Yehudiyon ki sabse badi khasalat kya hai? Haqq ko kabool nahi karna. If it doesn't come from your brand of scholars, if he doesn't speak the same lingo, he might be saying Haqq. Why did Bani Israel reject Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in spite of recognizing him and knowing him? فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. When Rasulullah came to them, they recognized him. They knew he's the Nabi we are waiting for. But because he wasn't from one of them, they didn't want to accept him. So he's okay, he's tablighi, he's whatever, but he's not one of us. Even though he's reciting Quran and explaining Quran, people will not accept because not one of us. This is a Jewish trait. ये यहूदियों की खसलत है हक बात समझ रहे हैं अब कुरान गलत हो सकता है कैन कुरान बी रॉन्ग आई एक्सप्लेन्ड हदीस कैन बी सही दईफ व्हाटएवर मौदू इवन फैब्रिकेटेड बट कुरान कैन नेवर बी फैब्रिकेटेड कुरान कैन नेवर बी रॉन्ग कुरान इज क्लियर किताब मुबीन कुरान टीचेस अस फंडामेंटल्स उसूल प्रिंसिपल्स पीपल से सहाबा मेड मिस्टेक्स Sahaba made mistakes, so that doesn't give you and me the right to point fingers at them. But theek hai, unse galtiyan hui, Allah ne karwai. Why? Because Shariat is a complete code of life. And in society, everybody is not an angel. There are many people, they break the laws. They do things they shouldn't do. So some things which were not inappropriate for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah placed those conditions upon Rasulullah so that the matter would be clarified. For example, Allah had initially promised Rasulullah, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. I will make you read and you will not forget except what Allah wills. So forgetfulness is not against a prophet. Even a prophet can be made to forget by Allah. So Rasulullah on occasions forgot certain things, not all the time, what Allah wanted him. So forgetfulness, as Allah mentions about Adam alayhi salam in the Quran, فَنَسَيَا, Adam forgot. Because he forgot, then he ate. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. But there were many other things which were inappropriate for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do. For example, in society, if someone commits zina, he needs to be dealt with. So was Rasulullah himself, na'udhu billah, going to do this in order for people to know how a person who commits zina should be treated? So then, Sahaba, some of them, the less famous ones, they went through these situations, and they, for example, one Sahabi, Maiz, radiallahu anhu, ended up committing zina. When he committed zina, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, purify me. Rasulullah ignored him. He came a couple of times, and then eventually he was given the punishment, the had for zina. And when they were stoning him, and one stone fell upon him, which caused him for some blood to gush out from his veins, and fell on the clothes of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, and he sort of disapproved of those few drops of blood which fell upon him from Maiz, because he had committed the sin and was now being punished with. And when Rasulullah saw this, Rasulullah said, O Khalid, لَقَدْ تَابَ تَوْبَةً لَوْ قُسِمَتْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. He has made such a tawbah. If his tawbah was distributed upon all of the natives of Medina would be sufficient for them. So can you imagine, we do something wrong, is there any guarantee we'll get forgiven? We hopeful, we make tawbah, but any guarantee our tawbah has been accepted? Even if it's been accepted, how do we know it's been accepted? But can you imagine the good fortune of those people? They did what they did. They then repented. And that repentance was proven by approved by Rasulullah. And its acceptance declared by Rasulullah. So when Rasulullah declared their acceptance of their tawbah, then who on earth has any right to point any fingers at them? So when Sahaba occasionally did what they did, then Allah used them to for the perfection of His deen. Samajari? Allah used them to show people, to become an example. Even their misdeeds like these became guidance for us, so that we know how to deal with such situations if such situations arise. Hence they will not be punished in the life hereafter, because their whatever they did has been dealt with in this world, and then their acceptance declared by Allah even in the Quran. You know, many a times we do something wrong, inappropriate. Walking down the street nowadays, most people have mobile phones, for example. Many people are busy on their mobile phones while walking down the street, driving. Even in the masjid, they're sitting in the masjid and playing with their phones. Suppose somebody was walking down the street and playing with their phone and they bumped into someone. What would you expect them to do? You'll expect them to apologize, Sorry, it's my fault. That's here. If you're in Pakistan, it's the other way around. But here, you know, in normal society, I'm not saying Pakistan's not normal, but in a normal society, if you do something wrong, then you apologize, brother, I'm sorry, you're my fault, And then the other person usually say, Rara, be careful next time. Which way are you going, man? Allahu Akbar. Sahaba are such people. They are so dear to Allah that when they did something wrong, they didn't even apologize. Allah revealed His acceptance or forgiveness in the Quran. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ I've already forgiven them. فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ You forgive them as well. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ You apologize on their behalf. If I do something wrong to anyone, I have to apologize. If you do something wrong to anyone, you have to apologize. Okay, but can you imagine the goodness, nobility of Sahaba, that whatever they did, Allah said, I have forgiven them without even their tawbah, without their apology. And then Allah is telling Rasulullah, fa'fu anhum, you forgive them as well. Wastaghfir lahum, then you seek forgiveness on their behalf. In other words, you apologize to me for them. Allahu Akbar. In one verse in the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَى أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا When they are doing something collectively, they don't leave without seeking permission. This is the last ruku of Surah An-Nur in the 18th Sipara. If you don't trust my translation, you can go and check it yourself. Surah An-Nur, the last, I think the fourth last verse from the end. Allah describes the believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوهُ If they're doing something collectively, they don't leave without seeking permission. This is what I said earlier as well about Taraweeh. Hazrat Umar established Taraweeh. It doesn't say anywhere anybody used to leave. Once they joined, they would stay. Not like us, where after eight, half the masjid is empty. You won't find that in any narration. That in the time of Sahaba, they would leave as well. But anyway, Allah says, وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ الْعَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ لَمْ يَذِبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Those who seek permission from you to leave, then they are believers. فَإِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ فَأَذَلْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ. If any one of them asks permission to leave, give them permission. When they are sitting with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're doing something collectively, they need to go. Number one, they shouldn't go without seeking permission. Number two, if they need to go and ask permission, what is Allah telling Rasulullah? Give them permission. فَإِذِ اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِبَعْضِ شَانٍ فَأْذَلْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Then Allah says, if they ask you for permission, give them permission, but you make istighfar on their behalf. Allahu Akbar. Allah is not telling them, you need to go, don't go. Be patient. Allah doesn't say that. You need to go, okay, it's you need to go, you have to go. So now you seek permission, you seek istighfar, make istighfar because you are going. So it's your fault, so it's for you have to go. Leaving my prophet. Allah doesn't say, tell them to repent and make istighfar. Allah is telling Rasulullah, when they ask you permission to go, give them permission and make istighfar for them. How dear must they be to Allah. Normally if a sheikh comes, or if there's a grand sheikh or a scholar, somebody pious, people would come, flock, to sit with him, to listen to him. Yahi hota hai na, ki jab koi bada Allah wala buzurg aa jaye to log aate hain dur daraz se buzurg ki sohbat mein baithne ke liye, baatein sunne ke liye, dua karane ke liye. Everywhere people have respect for pious people, scholars, learned people. If somebody comes, people will flock to be with him, sit with him, listen to him. Who can be more noble and pious than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So in Suratul Kahf, which is to be recited every Friday, there's a verse. Allah says, wasbir nafsak. Oh my Prophet, you go and sit with who? مَعَلَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. You go and sit with the people who remember me in the morning and evening. Allah is not telling them, if you want to remember me, you come and sit with my Prophet. Allah is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you go and sit with those who remember me in the morning and evening. And then when you go and sit with them, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. When you are with them, don't even look away from them. When you are with them, you know, when a pious man, a sheikh comes, you look at him. MashaAllah, you don't know his gestures, what he might say. Baaz dafa koi baat halki dheemi awaaz se kahein, ishaare se baat samajh aa jaati hai. So you keep staring at him. Don't you don't want to miss any opportunity that perhaps the sheikh might say something or do something you don't want to miss. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do something or say something. Allah is not telling sahaba, when you are with my prophet, don't look away. Allah is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you go and sit with these people who remember me in the morning and evening. And when you are with them, don't look away from them. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Allah, this is the status of sahaba. They were on the right path. Their path, whatever sahaba did, that is the right path. Some people say, well, Rasulullah did this, sahaba did this, so we have to follow Rasulullah. That's a dangerous statement to make. And I'll explain how it's dangerous. I understand your position. Jazakumullah. Allah bless you, Haji Sahab. Inshallah, I'll finish in a few minutes. Just the last example, perhaps. Rasulullah used to say sometimes, I am a messenger of Allah. So if somebody say, I'm going to say the same thing Rasulullah used to say, can you say, I am a messenger of Allah? Huh? Well, Rasulullah, this is the kalima Rasulullah used to read sometimes. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anni Rasulullah. I bear witness there is none to be worshipped but Allah and I am His messenger. Somebody says, I'm going to read the same kalima Rasulullah used to read. Will he remain a Muslim?
No.
Huh? So we have to read the kalima Rasulullah taught his companions. You know, in most masajid there is azan and iqamat. Huh? Yes? They do azan and iqamat here as well. Hoti hai na azan ya. And Azan Ali Qama is Sunnah. It is Sunnah. If anybody, you know, if a prayer was prayed without Azan and Iqamat, it would be valid. It's not according to Sunnah, but it would be valid. But Rasulullah never ever gave Azan himself, not even once in his life. Who used to give Azan? Bilal or other Sahaba. Huh? So Amal of Sahaba is, how many wives did Rasulullah have?
Nine.
Huh? 11 altogether. And 9 simultaneously, the most number when he left. How many are you allowed? Four. Many people when they get married for the first time, they say, I have intention for 4. They can't even handle 1. But they have intention for 4, no problem, alhamdulillah. So people are allowed 4. Huh? So if somebody says, sunnah to have 9 wives, because Rasulullah had 9. So the moment he marries the 5th one, thinking he wants to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah, not only will he not be following sunnah, he'll be committing kufr. Why? Because for the believers it is haram to have more than 4 simultaneously. So when a person marries the 5th one, obviously he's thinking it's permissible for him. So to make permissible what is haram is kufr. This is usul. One thing is a person commits kufr, does something haram, eating pork, drinking wine, it won't make him a kafir. Agar koi aadmi haram kha raha hai, sharab pee raha hai, to sharab peene ki wajah se kafir nahi hoga. Lekin agar sharab ko halal samajh kar pee raha hai na, to phir kafir ho jayega. You understand the difference? One is drinking alcohol or eating pig. You know it's haram. And you know it's haram and you're doing it. You shouldn't be doing it, but you're doing it. Whatever your reasons are. But if a person commits a haram deed thinking it's okay, then that is kufr. So when a person thinking he wants to follow sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasulullah had 9, so he needs more than 4. So the moment he marries the 5th one, he thinks he's going to follow the sunnah, but he will become a... So we have to follow what Sahaba did. Because whatever Sahaba did, they learned from who? So if anybody says what Sahaba did is not right, so what is he indirectly saying? Rasulullah didn't teach them properly. So these germs have come from Shiaism. They say, this is why they don't pray Tarawih at all. They say, well, Rasulullah didn't pray Tarawih. So it's not a question of 8 or 20. It's a question of mentality and attitude. What did the Sahab, what did the companions, students of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of the teachers, the ones who were taught by Rasulullah and who are guaranteed guidance in Quran and Hadith, what did they do? Unka kya amal hai? That is hidayat, that is guidance. So these germs, well, this is why Shias don't pray Tarawih. They say, well, Rasulullah didn't pray Tarawih, so we don't pray Tarawih. Had he prayed Tarawih, we would have prayed as well. And other people, we won't classify them in the same way, but the ones who are halfway there, they say, well, Rasulullah prayed 8, so we're only going to pray 8. So what they're saying, the amal of Sahaba is not good enough. So those who think what the Sahaba did is not good enough, but then what did Rasulullah teach them? So it's not just a question of 8 or 20, it's a question of attitude, it's a question of mentality, knowing Allah has put Quran, Allah has put Deen in the lap of Sahaba. When Allah perfected Deen, Allah didn't say, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Laka Deenaka. Oh my beloved Prophet, today I have perfected deen for your deen, for you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Atmamtu alayka ni'mati. Completed my favors upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Allah said, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum. Wa atmamtu alaykum. I have perfected my deen upon you, companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. completed my favors upon you, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and chosen for you, wa raditu lakum, for you, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lakumul Islam deena. So deen and Islam is what the Sahaba carried forward and gave the rest of the Ummah, because they were first witnesses. They knew what Rasulullah is saying. They knew what Rasulullah is doing. So when Rasulullah did something, Sahaba followed. When Rasulullah stopped, Sahaba stopped. So whatever Sahaba did not do, although Rasulullah might have done it at some stage, then that is not for you and me, because that proves either that is mansukh or makhsus. Mansukh means cancelled, abrogated. Makhsus means specific for Rasulullah. If there is something Rasulullah did, Sahaba didn't do it, then we shouldn't be doing it either. Why? It could be specific for Rasulullah, or Rasulullah did it, then stopped. That's why Sahaba didn't do it. If Rasulullah had carried on, then who would be a witness to Rasulullah doing it till the end? Sahaba. So the deen Allah sent, hidayat, is what Rasulullah left his companions upon. That is hidayat. That is what we pray to Allah. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is what Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are the people of Sunnah and the group of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the group that Rasulullah taught. Many people just picking up books of hadith nowadays, Bukhari, Tirmidhi, whatever translations, they're reading the translations without learning and understanding the true context. So this is why there is so much division, so much problems, and so much disunity, so many criticism, because everybody is doing their own search. So back in the days, 50, 60 years ago, we didn't have half the problems we have now. One reason, translations of hadiths were not in public domain. Hadiths were amongst ulama, libraries. The ulama used to teach and learn. The public used to seek from ulama their guidance, their issues. Ulama would give them, those who had learned properly, they would give them the rulings. One more point, just for proof. And then inshallah I will end. Few minutes, 2-3 minutes inshallah. Many people who have not learned to pray, for example, and suppose sometimes, usually like the Tablighi Jamaat brothers go and gusht, you know, door to door invite somebody. Suppose somebody comes to a sheikh and he says, "Sheikh, I haven't learned to pray, so can you teach me authentic way to pray, please?" Yeah? Suppose somebody who didn't learn to pray properly, one day he realizes, whatever reason, that he needs to learn to pray properly. So he comes to a sheikh and says, "Sheikh, please teach me how to pray properly." So either the sheikh can take him to a library, yeah, and open up all the books, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, the works, and he says, "Right, let's see what Bukhari says, what Muslim says, Tirmidhi says, Abu Dawud says about takbir. This is how we start off our prayer. Takbir in Bukhari, this is what takbir in Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi." The brother is probably going to end up scratching his head. Yeah? The sheikh, "Please, this is all nice, but just teach me how to pray." So the sheikh, he closes the books, puts them back in the shelf, and he says, "Okay, this is how you start, by raising your hands, holding them, saying Allahu Akbar," and he shows him the prayer practically from A to Z, from takbir to taslim. But he doesn't make any reference to any verse of Quran or any hadith. And he just showed that person how to pray. Yeah? Now this brother who's just learned to pray from this sheikh, without any evidence, daleel, is his prayer valid or not? Ismail, you understand the question? Tafam wa lala? Tafam? You understand the question? A man comes to a sheikh and he asks him to teach him how to pray. He was going to show him all the references and everything, but it was too confusing. So he closed the books, put them back in the shelf, and he showed him practically how to pray. And then he started praying. Is his prayer valid or not? But let me give you an example before you answer, to help you make up your mind. If you think his prayer is not valid because he doesn't know the evidences and the deal, how many of you sitting here can prove your prayer the way you pray from the beginning till the end with proof and evidence? And if you can't, if you think a person who doesn't know the deal for his prayer is not valid, that means prayer of 99% of the ummah will not be valid. Samajai, you understand the problem? Yeah? So now give me an answer. If a person who doesn't know proof and evidence for the way he prays, is his prayer valid or not?
His prayer is valid because according to the iman.
Jazakumullah. So what does this prove that ordinary people don't need to know evidence and dalil? Otherwise, the prayer of all of you will not be valid either. And the prayer of 99%, I am not saying for one moment you shouldn't learn evidence. No. Don't get me wrong. But the fact is, ordinary people are not required to know the dalil and evidence. That is for ulama who teach people. Ordinary people only need to know what to do, and that is providing they've asked a proper scholar. That's your responsibility. You go to someone, not someone who might be wearing a turban, just have a long beard, you think he might be a Muslim. You know what I'm saying? Ye nahi ki kisi aise waise gare gare na tu khare se jaakar pooch lena. You have to, your responsibility is you go to someone who is properly learned, an alim, renowned as a scholar, you ask him, that is sufficient. You've done your obligation. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Fasalu ala dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. If you don't know, ask the people who do know. Allah doesn't say, if you don't know, then do your own research. Like many of brothers nowadays, I'm doing my research. This is my opinion. I follow the strongest opinion. You know, you can measure weight in kilograms, speed in kilometers an hour or whatever. How do you measure the strength of an opinion? Is it a plastic band or a spring you can measure how far it stretches, strongest opinion? So when people say, I follow the strongest opinion, what they really are saying, I follow my own opinion. So, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We all need to ask Allah to guide us all to the right path. May Allah save us and have mercy upon us, and Allah forgive us. You say, if anybody's got a problem, Alhamdulillah, people here know me. I used to live 28 years of my life here.
We'll miss you.
I used to be Imam here before. In fact, I designed this. You know, this is my design. They were going to make a small mihrab and a minbar in a corner. And I said to the architect, please have mercy, you know, do something decent. And so I designed this bit here. The masjid was designed by somebody else, but this is my design. I grew up here, most of the brothers know me. So if anybody got a problem, I'm here, I'm not running away, I keep coming back. And so if anybody, but this is not the way to interrupt and disrupt. And when a person says something, it's like somebody, one sheikh was given a dars, and He was quoting a verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuhallatheena amanu la taqrabu salat. O believers, don't go near salat. So he went home and said to his wife, you know, today I've heard a wonderful verse. And that is, don't go. I heard a sheikh saying in the masjid, O believers, don't go near salat. So one of his friends was learning. He said, well, what does it say after that? He goes, don't worry about what's after that. Let's just stick to this bit first. Because the next bit says, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. Don't go near salat when you're in a state of drunkenness. Because then you don't know what you're saying. And so he goes, no, don't worry about the second part. Just worry about the first part. The first part says, don't pray. Let us not act like that. If anybody's got a problem, I'm here, nobody's running away. The right way is, you know, if I say, so, give me a chance to finish. And then if you got an objection, you're more than welcome to ask question at the end, inshallah. And we will be willing and happy to respond, but this then it disrupts the whole flow and it's no good. And this is not the Islamic way, this is not the right way. Subhanallah wa hamdi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Allah, forgive our sins and guide us all to the right path. Whatever is haqq, Ya Allah, grant us an understanding of the haqq and enable us to, Ya Allah, follow it. And whatever is falsehood and wrong, Ya Allah, grant us an understanding and enable us to refrain and stay away from it, Ya Allah. We are all sinful and weak, but you are merciful and powerful. Forgive us and guide us all to the right path, Ya Allah. Have mercy upon us, upon our parents, the whole ummah of your beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are ill, grant them all health and strength and shifa. Ya Allah, those who are going through difficulties and hardships, grant them and grant us all ease and comfort in this world and the life hereafter. Ya Allah, keep us on Islam as long as we live, and when our time comes to leave this world, Ya Allah, take us away on Iman. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad.
We've been made to believe that you also miss us.
Yeah, I do miss you all.
You have this mosque also.
Yeah, I do. This is why I keep coming back.
Yes,